The fourth step in training anything is the word encouragement. Encourage the effort you see in your children as you're training them to do something.
You're listening to Parenting on Purpose with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J., and I remember my youngest stepdaughter one time did something good, and then she blurted out, "Oh, Hannah, you did such a good job." Like
Hannah said that to Hannah?
Right, as copying me with the same tone of voice that I would have used and all that. And it was hilarious and laughed, but I thought, you know what? At least she can already think that I'm applauding something she's doing, which I hope she does when she does do good things when I'm not around.
Oh, absolutely. I don't think she was making fun of you. I think she was anticipating this. This is Ruthie. Ruthie sees me when I'm doing well and encourages me.
But it takes a lot of intention to do that. And I've had to learn. I'm still in the process of learning to look for things, look for attitudes that they have good intentions, good motives, and applauding the motives almost as much as the actions.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There are four steps. We've been talking about this all week. Four steps we see in Christ in the training program. The first step is example. As a parent, I need to set the example. I need to set the example. The second step is exposure. That means the things I want my child to learn, I do with my child. I don't just tell my child to play baseball. I play baseball with my child. Mm-hmm. So in anything we do, I set the example the way I drive a car, and then I will allow my child, I'll expose my child to driving a car by going to an empty parking lot and pray while I'm sitting next to my child and let my child practice driving. Then comes the time when they take the test, they pass the driving test, they're able, and they've reached the point where they can go off by themselves. Then you really, really pray as they experience driving without you in the car. But the final step in the training process is often, all of these are difficult, letting them experience example, exposure, experience is difficult often in some of these things. But one of the steps we forget the most, and it's so out of character usually for one parent, is encouraging them. I actually think it's out of character for one gender, if you want to know
which
the truth.
One?
Which one do you think?
Well, I'll throw out the male one.
I think it is. I think
it's not natural.
It's not natural for us to encourage. I think we are, and I'm a prime example of this. Rosemary made the statement once, "I'm amazed you have any friends. You have hundreds and hundreds of friends. If you see them someplace you're speaking, you brutalize them. You use them as the negative story, even if you make up stories about them." I spoke this week in Raleigh, and I'm very close to the pastor, and my only sibling was there, my brother. And all I had to do by the fourth time I was speaking is look in his direction, and this entire wave of people is laughing. They know I'm going to take him out again and make up a story about him.
Oh,
but
goodness.
I think sometimes to stop and say, "You did a great job. I want to thank you. That was wonderful what you did." Watching you do that, I think unfortunately there's a lot of men that say, "I just wish my dad once would have said, I'm proud of you, son."
Mm. Then how did you change that habit, or what is it that sort of needs to click in man or a woman's mind to become a better encourager?
You know, I was asked that recently, and I went home and asked Rosemary, and she didn't have the answer. And an interesting thing took place. She didn't know how I taught it, how I did it, how I learned to be an encourager to the people around me. And I am today, but I think I was because she taught me. And I don't think she knew she taught me. She was such an encourager to me. Mm-hmm. And then when our children were growing up, and she would position me to encourage them, she would say,
I want you to know what Tori did today. Oh, okay.
And so I would kind of, I think it was subconscious, "Tori, this is amazing. This is beautiful."
So she'd set it up for you.
She'd set it up, and then I could follow through by going, getting a laminate frame and put the picture that 3-year-old did and hang it in my study and hang it in different places. Mm. And so I think she made an insecure male an encourager by the way she encouraged me. You know, my very first time speaking in public was at a church here in South Florida, First Baptist Fort Lauderdale, and I was totally unprepared. Today, looking back, it was a disaster. It's one of those times when you would look up in the sound booth and realize that they just turned the recording machine off because no one's going to buy this CD. Rosemary was on the front row staring at me, smiling, writing notes to friends or something. She was writing something down. And at lunch, I asked her later on, what were you writing? She said, "I was taking notes on what you said." And I said, "How could you take notes on something that I said? You wrote 60% of that sermon when we were talking together." She said, "No, it was all different. It was all different. You just came alive." And whether that was true or not, I chose to believe
it. Did you ever think it was fake, though, that she was saying that, or you didn't even care?
I didn't care.
Okay.
It was awesome. She thought, I did a good job. I'll take it. Mm-hmm. And I think she taught me and the positiveness of her so that my children reached the point where I would say to Roby after doing something, that was amazing. And he said, Dad, you think everything I do is amazing.
Oh.
I said, well, a lot of things you guys do are amazing. That was amazing. And so what we miss, and I think Promise Keepers almost built a whole ministry off of this, to tell you the truth, of men arriving at something, waiting to hear their dad say, I'm proud of you, and learning how to hear God say, well done.
Wow.
I think we have an amazing power in the training process because our children are going to play for some audience. When they're young, either be the valedictorian, be the best athlete on the playground, or be the one who messes up to make everybody laugh. Be the one who takes a class out. You just want to be somebody somewhere. Mm-hmm. And bad attention is better than no attention at all. And so I think as parents, we need to realize the power in the training process, the power of encouraging our children. That was great. Hey, I want to thank you. Tonight you got in bed 5 minutes early.
Mm-hmm.
That was amazing. Mm-hmm. In fact, when we said, all right, it's time to go through the routine, which upstairs in the tub, while we're supervising you, out of the tub, brush your teeth, do whatever it is you need to do, go to the bathroom, get in bed, we're going to read, and then call me when you're totally in bed, ready with your little book, and hearing them call, Dad, ready, I'm ready. And me go in there, realize 5 minutes early, this is amazing. Maybe even walk by the bathroom and say, you know what, you picked up everything. I went in there to pick up something. You left me no job. You picked up everything. This is incredible. And get them used to when you do the things you need to do, even though some of us would say, you know what, they're supposed to do that stuff. How hard is this?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's hard if nobody's paying attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. How many times have you done something and realized, does anybody even recognize the fact that I just did that?
Mm-hmm.
Could somebody just say, thank you for emptying the dishwasher?
And I know women would still love
to
get a list.
Well,
Mom, thank you for waking
us up. We all would like to hear
done.
And so I think as parents, especially dads, big moment. When Tori was in, and there's some debate what grade this was. I don't remember what it was, but she couldn't remember to bring her spelling book home. But I knew she could remember. She chose not to bring her spelling book home. It was this little booklet that she would bring home for us to go over spelling words. And every night she'd have to call a friend to get her spelling words. And I realized, you know what? This isn't about spelling words. This is about choosing to remember to bring that book home.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to her, here's the deal. Did you bring your spelling book? I went and picked her up one day from school instead of Rosemary. Did you bring your spelling book? Let me look. No, I forgot. Let's go in and get it. And I went in and got it, and I photocopied the entire book.
Hmm.
I have a little printer at home, photocopied the entire book. And she said, oh, this is great. This means I have one for home and one for here. No, I just happen to have a copy. I want you to remember. I don't want to do convenient parenting. I want to do training parenting. Bring the spelling book home. But here's the deal. Every time you don't bring that book home, I do have a copy. Every day you don't bring that book home, I'm going to have you write each one of this week's spelling words off of my book 8 times.
Oh,
choose wisely. I never have to do that many times for school. You'll never have to do that many times for home. Choose to bring it home. And we wrote so many words.
Oh, she really?
Here's the deal. I knew she's the smartest of all of us. She could bring it home anytime she wants. She's trying to see, okay, is he going to stay with this?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to wear him out with these spelling words. And so finally, I get a phone call from Rosemary, and Rosemary says she brought the book home. I just want you to know when you leave the office, she brought the book home. I come in and make a huge deal, and I'm waiting for you to bring it home 5 days in a row. This is unbelievable. This is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That's all she had to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she never forgot again, because when your barbarian gets it, they get it.
Mm-hmm.
So she brings it home all 5 days. Rosemary calls me and says, she's done it. She brought it home all 5 days. What are you going to do? And I said, well, I know it's dinner hour. Do you mind if I take everybody for ice cream, even though it's dinner hour? And she laughs and she said, I knew that's what you were going to do. So here's what we do. I pull in the driveway, buzz open the garage door. She's standing in my space. And I get out of the car and I say, Tori, did you bring your spelling book home? And she says, no, I forgot it. And she turns around and sticking out of her jeans in the back, tucked in where her shirt goes. And I say, I act like I'm mad. I act like I'm in a bad mood. Get in the car. Go get Roby and Mom. Get in the car right now. Right now. And she's trying not to laugh. And she's mm-hmm. trying to act like, oh, my goodness. They get in the car. We go to Baskin Robbins. Sorry. That's just how we do it. And we walk in. Rosemary's the only normal person. She gets no ice cream. But I step up to the 18-year-old behind the counter. It's dinner hour. So there's nobody else in there right now but us. Right. And he says, can I help you, sir? And I say, do you know why we're here? Which I know he's totally panicked right now, other than Rosemary smiling. And I know he's thinking in his mind, well, I hope you're here for ice cream, because that's what we do here. I said, hey, this is my daughter. She blew it out this week. So we want a major cone. And he's turning around to point at the wall. They have those big waffle cones. They can put three scoops in. And I said to him, can we do this? Can I buy two cones, you keep one, and I get six scoops in that? You win on this. You win on this. I know it's out of your box. I'll pay for both cones. And instead of three scoops in this one, three scoops in that one, I want all six in this one.
Oh, my goodness.
And you keep the cone.
All stacked up?
All stacked up. To this day, when Tori would tell the story, it's like there's 19 scoops there. And Roby can have that, too, if he wants. He wanted something different. And we get this, and we walk out, and big time. I went nuts. I went crazy for
she
effort.
She never forgot her spelling
book again. Well, the cone's gotten ginormous now. It's, you know,
in 20 million mind, yeah. scoops.
But what I'm doing is that I'm encouraging. This is awesome. Mm-hmm. This is amazing. It didn't cost anything. It was a family adventure. But the number one thing is not the cone. We did that cone, and we did cones for overcoming major stuff. Not every week. We got the five. Sometimes I would forget, and she'd say, I've got my spelling book, you know. And I'd make a big deal out of her having her spelling book and each of the things. She did an amazing job. I'd write on her mirror with dry erase, great job on your room and the bathroom today. We have to encourage. We have to inspect what we expect, and we have to encourage. We set an example. We expose them by doing the tasks with them. Here's how you clean your room. Here's how you clean the bathroom. Then we experience. We cut them loose and let them experience on their own. But we forget to be their greatest, greatest encouragers. We got to be the ones cheering. That was a great job. Tori, that was a great job calling me coming out of that party. Come get me. That was a great job when you got it as a senior and you walked out of the party that went south quickly and you brought seven or eight kids with you out of the party. That was awesome. You are a leader today. I have to be the one to encourage her because there'll be other people trying to encourage her to do the other things, the wrong things, her peers. I want her to be a leader, not a follower. So I've got to come alongside. And here's the deal. Encourage effort, not perfection, not performance. Effort. No one performs perfectly all the time. Encourage effort. Be their greatest encourager in these things.
And that's got to build some confidence in them too. Isn't there a link with confidence?
Yes, it's absolutely linked with confidence. But it gets to be where it's linked with, you know, I've got a track record of encouragement from my dad. So if I have a problem, I can come. My dad, my mom, my encouragers in my life, because I've built up a lot in the bank account of encouragement. I can make some withdrawals. You know, I can come and say, hey, I messed up. I got a ticket tonight or whatever without me going ballistic. And I have to fight the ballistic.
I was going to say.
Yeah, because, you know.
You did what?
Yes. No, I have to fight the ballistic. Tell me about it. Let's see what we need to do with this in multiple areas. There are some kids that are terrified to go to their parents with a poor performance in some of the small, some of the big. I will love you regardless. You can never lose my love. There are times when I'm really proud of you. The times when us as a family have to wrap around you and help you get through this. And that's what we're here to do. Set the example in everything you want to train. Then expose them by doing those tasks with them together. Then back out and get on the sidelines of life and let them experience doing these things by themselves. Then be their greatest encourager. Well done, good and faithful servant.
You've been listening to Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries here on Parenting on Purpose. I'm your host, Ruthie J. We've been covering the four steps of the parenting process. Monday, we shared all four of them, sort of a summary of them. So if you want to hear all four in one show, you can listen to it at parentingonpurpose.org. Tuesday, we talked about exposing them. Yesterday, the process of giving them that experience, and today, encouragement. So again, you can hear all the broadcasts again at Parenting on Purpose, even get them automatically when you sign up for the blog that comes along with the program or on your app on your iPhone or Android phone. So that's all online at parentingonpurpose.org. For more about the children's homes, where they teach a lot of this as well, at Sheridan House Family Ministries, you can go online to shfm.org. Lots of parenting books, marriage books by Dr. Barnes and others. All the proceeds of those go to the children's homes as well. That's shfm.org. Or if you just want to give to Sheridan House and support the children's homes right now, you can text two letters and give a one-time $10 donation that'll add on to your cell phone bill. Just text the letters SH. and send it to 41518. And we thank you for your support. Hope you join us next week. We're going to cover another topic here on Parenting on Purpose.